Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. And here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. I thank you for tuning in to Global Radio. Today, we're going to go to the Voice of the Apostles, the VOA, at Global Awakening in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And today we are at Session 3 with Todd White. If you haven't heard Todd White's story, you want to stay with us today. We are going to capture the highlights of his message. Here he is as we jump right into the middle of the session, Todd White.
So God, we thank you for this laid down lover. We thank you. Right now we say yes and amen. And we say you have liberty here to speak the word of the Lord, to speak it boldly, to speak it with clarity in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The reality of the gospel is to love God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, and with all of my strength. And the second part is the same as the first. It's to love my neighbor as I love myself. The reality of the gospel is to love God with everything in me and then to know who he says I am. And then when I know that who he says I am, I know who he says you are, regardless of what you're doing. Because the reality of it is if you're not doing the right thing, it's because you're believing the wrong thing. If you're not believing the right thing, you're just believing the wrong thing. The wrong thing is that you're just a sinner. When you get saved, you leave the place of being a sinner. You get saved by grace through faith. And all of a sudden, God calls you something different. And if you don't see who God calls you to be, you'll live by what the devil calls you all the rest of your life. This gospel is really simple. It's not technical. It's simple. God loved me when I was a wretch, when I was horrible, when I was twisted, when I was a liar, when I was a thief, when I was a drug addict. He loved me. He said, I want that one. He didn't say, avoid that one. He said, I want that one. Everybody else avoided me, but God was like, I want that one. So I was blacklisted from Canada. I have quite a history. See, I've got lots of felonies and misdemeanors and extradited across America twice and kicked out of the military. I was raised by the Masons. I was raised in the Masonic Temple. People were like, oh my God, no, he's going to need deliverance. What if I got set free already? What if I believe that Jesus really is the truth? What if I believe that Jesus really is the life? What if I believe he really is the way? What if I met him? What if Jesus didn't say, then you'll get prayer for impartation and you'll be free? What if Jesus said, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free? Impartation is necessary because it changed my life. But the truth of the blood of Jesus and the reality of the cross, Christ and him crucified, which Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, I dare not boast in anything but this, Christ and him crucified. That is the gospel, and that is what I needed. That's what everybody needs. If you see the truth of the blood of Jesus and what he's done, you'll be free from you. The gospel sets us free from us. If I'm free from me, I'm free from you. You can't hurt me. All I owe you is love. Why is this such a strange doctrine? Well, that's strange. What do you mean, not offended? I've lived without being offended for 20 years. You see why only about 1/15 of you clap? Because we live with offense. We live with this thing that we're okay. We worship, we lift our hands, yet we're mad at our brother. We're upset at our sister. We just can't believe they did it. I come to a conference because I don't really go to a church because I'm offended. And I just, you know, I don't need that because I got this. Well, what do you really have? What are you going to do, stand before God? I don't like what you died for. You guys all right? I'm going to dig into your heart, buddy, because I need you to be free. Why? What does this have to do? If I'm going to pray for somebody to be healed, I ought to be healed in my soul. Do you understand that spirit, soul, and body, God wants us sanctified completely? He wants to go through every part of our being. He wants our spirit. When we get born again, we're wall to wall Holy Ghost. Like, you have become one with God. Your spirit, who was headed the wrong way, is now headed the right way, and you're one with God. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions is disconnected. It's discombobulated. It's screwed up. It's jacked up. That's why many ministers will sacrifice truth on an altar of being culturally relevant. Why would I sacrifice truth when it's the truth that sets people free? Sacrificing truth is not enabling people to step into this little itty-bitty thing called the gospel, which happens to be way bigger on the inside than it was on the outside. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Many are called, but few find it. That's a scary scripture. It says that you're called. It says many are called, but few. That's not okay. I don't know about you, but I want to be few. I don't want to be many. Watch. Here's another one. Many will say to me in that day. Did you ever read that section in Matthew 7? Absolutely petrifying. Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, right? And he will say, away from me. I never knew you. There's a difference between you saying that you know God and you knowing that he knows you. But the reality of you not being renewed in your mind and you not being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you still remain conformed to the world. Because the Bible says that I need to go after the one thing that is so important. Hooked on Jesus. That doesn't mean we don't do stuff. That just means we need to do stuff in the place of love, because Jesus is incredible. Since I got born again, I feel like I need to kind of, just real quick, just kind of, how many of you don't know my testimony? So here's the thing, is that when I come to Christ, he knows all my junk. He knows everything. He knows all of it. Like, you know that your mother and father didn't knit you when you were in the womb? The reality of it is when I'm born in sin. All of us are born in sin. And so as I'm born in sin, I must be born again to get sin out of me. I have to be born again. But see, the thing is I go through the world and I go through what I go through, and my mom loves me or she doesn't love me. She's hurting. She's broken. It depends where a woman's soul is. So my mom was hurting. And 11 years old, my parents got divorced. And when they got divorced, I took it really bad. I was really angry. I was so mad because this is my dad. And like, you're my mom. And I never even saw you guys argue. Like, what's happening? Dad said, your mother doesn't love me anymore. What? What is that? So I freaked as a kid and I snapped. And this is 11 years old. So my dad left and I ran to get him. My mom tackled me. And my dad, I watched him get in the car and leave. And it really broke me. And I'm not saying this so that we can lick our wounds. I'm saying this so we can be free. Because I need to know who God is as a father. Because if not, my earthly dad's going to jack my life up. Why? Because no matter how good your earthly dad is or earthly dad isn't, the reality of being born again means to be refathered. It means that I've been refathered and I got the best dad ever. And I got to see that. Because if I'm supposed to pray, Jesus, when his disciples walked with him, Jesus walked on this earth and it had to be profound. I mean, imagine walking with Jesus. Like, everybody's getting healed. All these demons are screaming when Jesus shows up. What have we to do with you? Like, they're getting kicked out. They are having crazy service. It's like, if you picture revival, I'm pretty sure that looked like it. Like, we say, let's have revival. What about walking with Jesus? What about the books of the earth that couldn't even contain the miracles that Jesus? What about those books that couldn't even contain it? Like, how many miracles could there have been? Ridiculous. I mean, amazing. I mean, imagine going to feed the 5,000 and Jesus, like, you give him something to eat. They're like, Philip, watch this. I found a boy. He's got five loaves of bread and two fish. Is that a smart answer? No, it's you're the only one that can do something with this. You give him something to eat. So Jesus gives them the bread and it multiplies as they give the bread away. And they're ending up with 12 baskets. I mean, crazy luck, crazy. The only thing that Jesus, the disciples didn't say, teach us how to heal the sick. They didn't say, teach us how to raise the dead. He said, teach us to pray. I want you to hear this. This is so important because we have this big conference and we have so many people in church. Where's your prayer life? Where's your time with Jesus? Where's your intimacy? Because it's out of intimacy that Jesus destroyed hell. He destroyed the works of the devil because of his massive intimacy with the Father. He was up earlier than everybody was. He was up before daybreak. He was out seeking the Father. He was going after heaven constantly, all day, all night. When they went to sleep, he's like, I gotta go. He's out. And we as Christians need to have the same profuse life of prayer and intimacy and relationship with God. We can't afford to be a prayer church. We be people that are constantly burning, that are yearning to show people the Father. We're to terrorize the devil every second of our day. You are supposed to be a demonic threat. A threat to the demonic. When I say demonic threat, people go, who? Where? I talk to people who are like, man, it feels really weird in here. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, I don't know. I could just, who cares? No, I got you. Listen, one person in Christ is the majority. Doesn't matter how many demons, you got Jesus. It's called confidence. It's called burning with God's love for people, realizing your war is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, the people that you're angry at. It's not them. You're the issue. It's a me issue. It's not them, it's you. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they treated me. You know what they said to me. You don't know what they say about me. Now, if your conscience would just get clean and washed by the only substance that can wash it. See, when sin consciousness gets touched by the blood of Jesus, it's become son consciousness. And all of a sudden, my conscience is clean and pure. I'm no longer guilty, ashamed, or condemned. Now the eternal problem has been stopped through the blood of Jesus and the reality of Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin so that I might become the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. No. It's way more exciting than that. It's what's enabled me to wake up guilt, shame, and condemnation free for 20 years straight. It's what's enabled me to burst through the whole, listen, brother, you need to slow down. You don't understand. You're going a little too fast. You need to chill. I'm 20 years in. You were wrong. You were wrong. I've got a wife that loves me. I've got a wife that sits on the front and cries because the testimony isn't just 20 years ago. The testimony is every day living a life burning, not just from a pulpit, but in front of my kids. Let my kids watch who daddy is in his prayer room. Let my little kids walk in. Daddy, I knew I'd see you here. Daddy, I knew I'd find you here. Daddy's crying. Daddy, my little kid rubs my knees. And he goes, Daddy, what is that? I love Jesus, baby. Yeah, but why there? Because I get on my knees to love Jesus. Oh, my knees are a little bit tough here. Why? Because I spend a lot of time on them. I know he loves me. See, you gotta know that he loves you. I promise you this. If you step into knowing that you've been made right with God, your whole life will be a sobbing, amazing, passionate love affair with a king that loves you sincerely and unconditionally, and he'll never walk away from you. He will always be there, even if everybody turns their back on you. Jesus is right there. Will you just look to me instead of the issue? Will you just look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he pursued the cross because he knew that you would be on the other side. It's amazing. Well, like, yeah, but like, how do you like get so bold? Like, how are you so bold? How do you pray for people? I'm right with God. I know it, people are like, no, teach us the miracles. I can. It's easy. The Holy Ghost needs to completely submerge you, baptize you, overtake you, overwhelm you, so that you can actually be on fire for the Lord. So that he can knock the lukewarm Christianity out of your life. Because if it doesn't get knocked out now, it'll be spit out later. You can think what you want, but that scripture won't leave. Jesus said, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but because you're warm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. People are like, well, that's not the Jesus I know. Maybe you're not seeing the real Jesus. You all right? Wait, that's totally contrary. You just made me feel bad. No, I didn't make you feel bad. I just preach the truth. What happens is it exposes the lies. See, the truth exposes the lie. No, my Jesus is ushy-gushy. He loves me. Oh, I'm just going to hold him. Tell that to John the Revelator. Did you read Revelation, the book of Revelation? It's the revelation of Jesus. Do you know that John was the one that laid his head on the bosom of Jesus? Do you know that John was like, I love you, Jesus. Do you remember John? You guys with me? He knew that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. It's my favorite. I want to be the one that knows that he's loved by Jesus. Are you with me? So John lays his head on Jesus. Who is it, Lord? Ask the Lord who it is that's going to betray him. The one that dips the bread in the... Come on, this is John. John, Peter, James, and John, the closest guys. They're the ones, the inside crew, right? So John, in the book of Revelation, said when he saw Jesus, he didn't go, oh my! He fell like a dead man. You see, that didn't go over well at all. He fell as a dead man. He saw Jesus. He didn't have brown eyes. He didn't say he had the brown skin. It didn't say that it said he had eyes of, woo. Oh, watch. When you're on fire and you get put in the fire, nothing changes except a crisper, sharper awareness of who he is and who he was. You guys all right? Do you know that every one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to give an account of the works that were done in our body? You guys all right? We'd be like, yeah, tell us about the miracles, dude. Don't go there. Don't go there. No. We need to have confidence right now that when we face the judgment seat, he's going to look at you and say, well done. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. You guys okay? See, right now, if you were to say, when I stand before the Lord, what's he going to say? That's a problem. You don't ever want to have that in your life. And the only way out of that is surrender to love. See, the gospel doesn't condemn people. The gospel doesn't make people guilty, except when somebody doesn't know Jesus and they are convicted of the sin that they lived in. And they see the reality of the beauty of Jesus, because you cannot take away your sin. You can do no works to take away your sin. You can't work your way to God. God worked his way to you through Jesus Christ. And if we don't see the cross for what it's done, we won't live and carry the cross. We'll live on the wrong side of it. So we sing that song, I'll never know how much it costs. We need to change the song. We need to say, I need to know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. We need to say, I need to know. Why? Because you don't understand. The cross isn't the revelation of your sin. The cross is the revelation of your value, because something underneath of that sin was so important for heaven to have went bankrupt to purchase you. He paid the price just for you. Religion lies to you. Relationship with Jesus is what we need. Religion says you have to do, you have to do, you have to do, you have to do, you have to be. That's being a doobie. Relationship says you must be to do, you must be to do. I'd be right with God, and all of my works are the byproduct of intimacy because I am right with God. Now I guilt, my shame, and my condemnation get wiped out, excommunicated, absolutely obliterated, and God doesn't see me for my faults, my failures, and my shortcomings. Do you know, we went and we pressed in to try to get my record expunged, and Josh was the one that entered into that to try to get me into Canada. It didn't work because we couldn't do it. It took 5 years of steady going after it, and my record 3 weeks ago has finally been 100% expunged and removed. So now the government has to see me the same way that Jesus does. No felonies. No more misdemeanors. Now country's got to let me in. I'm serious. So I grew up, my mom and dad, they got divorced. They put me in a children's home. I'm going to breeze through quick, and I'm going to share. See, if God can change me, he can change anybody. And the reason why we share testimony is the word testimony means do it again, God, with the same power you did it in the first place. First time you did it, do it again. Because when you share a testimony, it means that God wants to do it again. It means if you're struggling with drug addiction, God wants to set you free. I'm serious. People are like, why do you always share your testimony? Because I see people get free. Because I believe that I didn't deliver myself. See, there was no way for me to deliver me. You can't deliver you. Psychology can't deliver you. Listen, I have nothing against psychologists, but psychology is the study of fallen man. So if I'm going to apply the theory of fallen man to the fallen man, I've got something that's still fallen. Look, we've all tried to get free. What if it's the simplicity? There can't be. He said, so I desire to present you to Christ, present you, betrothed you, set you up as a chaste virgin to one husband. What does that mean? And how can I get from where I was to there? That's it. So my parents put me in a place called the Masonic Homes. I grew up there. I started drugs at 12. I was jacked up and messed up, and I hurt so many people and destroyed lives. I ended up getting out of there. I got kicked out. I came home. I got kicked out of my house. I joined the Marines on a dare. Not good. Not where I was. I went to boot camp. I did well. I lost 76 pounds. They PT'd me to the floor. I came out a machine. I came out a Lance Corporal. I graduated like front of the class. Like, everybody thought I'd changed. And then a couple weeks later, I'm at home on leave. Everybody's happy. I go back on base. I find out that Marines drink. And so I love to drink. So now I'm drinking alcohol, all that stuff again. So now 2 months later, I don't want to be there. And they said I couldn't leave. So I left anyway. That's not good. I went AWOL and ran away. And I went back and I hid in the mountains out west. I got arrested 6 months later, 5.5 months later, get put in jail. I get extradited across America. I get put in military prison. See, I didn't go to Bible college in the beginning of my life. And I went to a school of hard knocks. It was a hard knocks. And I was a knucklehead, and I hurt a lot of people. But literally, I just believed the lie. I didn't know the truth. I didn't have anybody in my family that believed the truth. I didn't have anybody around me that shared the gospel with me. And Mama Heidi referred to it last night. For 34 years, at the end of this, no one shared Jesus with me. And so, man, my whole life is jacked. And, man, I get out of the brig this time, and they let me out. And I'm on base, and I don't want to be there. I go AWOL again. I run away. I ended up going out to Colorado again. I hid for almost a year. I get busted. I get put in jail. I get extradited a second time. Now I get put in the brig for another 6 months. Then I get a bad conduct discharge, a big chicken dinner, get kicked out of the military, come out, get felony after felony after felony, misdemeanor, felony, misdemeanor, felony, misdemeanor, misdemeanor. It's my life. Just jacking it up because I'm stealing. I need my drugs. I'm stealing money. Then I meet a girl in a bar and I trick her into thinking, I'm amazing. And she falls for it, and I got her. I pursued her. I stalked her, actually. And we got together. About a year and a half later, she gets pregnant. We have this little girl, and this demonic thing just told me to kill myself on a consistent basis. I heard the voice to kill myself since 8 years old. Addicted to porn from 8, addicted to drugs, 11 and a half, 12. Completely. I mean, I'm talking addicted to everything. I had a lifetime subscription to issues that Jesus canceled. I'm so serious. Jacked up, messed up life. And so she fell for it after our baby was born. This thing just kept whispering. I heard voices telling me to kill myself. Diagnosed with bipolar disorder, borderline schizophrenic, manic depression, on the meds, on drugs, whatever. I told this girl that if she left me, I'd kill myself. And I told her after she said, I'm going to find a real man to take care of me, I told her I would take her out and kill her. Why? Because if I couldn't have her, nobody was. It's the story of jealousy. It's the wisdom of the world. It's sensual and demonic. It's full of self-seeking and envy, and every evil thing exists there. That's where your war is. It's against the wisdom of the world. That wisdom of the world comes from the demons, comes from the demonic realm, and it permeates people's thinking, and that's where I was. So all of a sudden, I'm with this girl. She stays with me for 7.5 years of my daughter's life, 9 years altogether, and it's all torment. It's all twisted. It's all lies. So one night I come home from a drug deal. She's gone. I leave. I go to her stepdad's house because I'm going to get a rifle to end my life. I'm done. And on the way to the gun cabinet, I open a phone book. I flip the phone book open. It opens to churches. I am not a church guy. I drive to this church as angry as can be, and I meet Dan Moeller. And I said, bro, what is wrong with you? He said, it's not what's wrong. It's what's been made right. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, let me tell you about Jesus. I did not come here to hear about Jesus. He said, this is a church. But I don't know church, and I don't know Jesus. And if people can't see Christ in you, they don't want what you say you have. And so sure enough, this guy talks and talks and talks. And I'm like, whatever, dude, listen. If he wants it, he can have it. I don't care, because he said, since you don't want your life, why don't you give it to somebody that does? But here's the problem. In my mind, in the life that I am, why would anybody want what I have? See, why don't you give your life to somebody that wants it? What could he possibly have that he wants in my life? See, it's not that he wants the life that you have. He wants to transform the life that you have by his grace. Grace is not just undeserved favor. Grace is the divine inspiration of God upon the heart with the outward reflection of God upon the life. So God wants to give you a taste of his goodness, and he wants to let his grace come in you to change you from inside out. He wants to put his spirit in you, but then he wants you to learn who he says you are. So now that I get that changes everything. But that didn't happen. Only a seed went in. See, a seed without surrender is a demonic thing waiting to happen. Incorporating Jesus in for what I can get from him, or maybe what he can do for me, is a demonic thing waiting to happen. The seed isn't demonic, but all hell is coming. Because now you've incorporated Jesus in instead of surrendered. And Jesus incorporated will never work for you. You're a pinpoint for the devil. He has a target on you, and he will constantly bombard you and come against you with everything that he is to get you to never pursue who God says you are. So that's what happened. So 5.5 months after this Jesus incorporation, I'm going to church singing songs like this. I exalt me. That's not what I was singing, but that's what I was thinking. If I sing loud enough, all these people are going to be faked out by my singing. And I had a voice, so they were like, dude, you need to be on the worship team. I'm like, dude, don't pick me, because I'm lost, yet I'm found. I'm in this place of straddling this fence that I think, but it's the normal Christian life that needs to be abnormal, because that's not love. That's not surrender. That's incorporation, and that never works. And I'm ruining her life, and I'm ruining other people's lives, and people are watching me, and my girlfriend is like, this is not real. Look at you. Look, you go to church on Sunday. She didn't want nothing to do with this. And my life is jacked up and totally lost. So 5.5 months in, I go out one night, and I rip off a drug deal. This happened in York, Pennsylvania, right down the street, actually. I picked up a drug dealer on East Maple Street. And I told him, I said, what do you got on you? And he handed me 2 8-balls. I know none of you know what that means, but it was a large amount of cocaine. And I told him to get out of the car and put his hands on the hood, that I'm a police officer. And this kid starts punching the dashboard. And I said, get out, shut your mouth and get out. And when he gets out, I hit the gas. Now, this is 5.5 months after I incorporated Jesus in. I did not surrender. See, God, it's all or none. It's gather or scatter. It is for or against. You can't afford to be some happy middle ground. Because it's not happy. You're an attack point, and you wonder why all hell is breaking out against you. See, when all hell breaks out against you, but all hell heaven fills you, and all truth possesses you, it's okay. But when all hell breaks out against you, and you only have a seed that's in here, but you have no transformation here, you are in big trouble, and you are susceptible to your environment. You need to be an environment influencer by being possessed by the truth of God's word, so that when the enemy comes, he's a liar and the father of lies, and the ruler of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. That's established by intimacy and relationship. So all of a sudden, I got this kid in my car. I tell him to get out of the car and put his hands on the hood, and I hit the gas, and he unloads 14 rounds of a 9mm right outside of my car. And I hear a voice say, I took those bullets for you. Are you ready to live for me yet? See, I know you weren't there, and you might not believe that's true, because you can hit something with a 9mm. Now I can too, because I've got my permission to have a gun. But as I shoot, there ain't no way you're missing something at 10 feet away. All those rounds and the voice. So I come home that night. Tried to do all the coke, couldn't get high. Look at my car, I have no bullets in my car from 10 feet away. It's not possible. I go to the door, she's screaming, she's raging. I hate you, get out of my life. I left. I went to a place called Teen Challenge. I'm in Teen Challenge. I surrendered. I shaved my head. I had dreads before. So I have this encounter up at Teen Challenge. I have this radical encounter with truth. Truth, he says, your sins and your lawless deeds, I will remember no more. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. That's too good to be true. There's, whoa, wait, 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 wait. All my stuff, like, I got a lot. Like, he was there. He knew it all. He saw it all. Saw it all happen. No, no, no. You are now a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And I went, oh my God. No. What? Guess what I did? I dared to believe.